Good evening, Grace Baptist Church. This is Brother Matthew, and I just want to wish you a happy Wednesday evening. We will be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 11. I am ready to be back at church. We will be seeing each other on this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. I pray that you are able to make it out for that service. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 11. We're going to begin there in verse 1, and I'm going to read 1 through 11, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's read. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we pray that you bless the reading of your word. Lord, we pray that we would be able to be more ready for your return. May we be found at your return serving you as children of the day, of the light, working for you, preparing for your return. May we be found with our lamps full of oil and our wicks trimmed, ready to go. Also, Lord, may we be found also leading others to you. Lord, we do love you, and we ask for your blessings upon your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. Let's look at 1 and 2. Now at the times and of the epochs, brethren, or seasons, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Paul opens up chapter 5, commending the church of Thessalonica for their spiritual readiness about meeting the Lord. And we know that Paul, whenever there was a compliment to give to encourage the church, he did just that. He would do that. And all the way through 1 Thessalonians, we see him doing just that, commending the church on their love, on their faith, whatever it may have been. And now he is doing that here with their spiritual readiness about meeting the Lord. The Thessalonians were fully convinced that the Lord would return soon. That the Lord would return as a thief in the night. They were convinced that he was coming back to get them. They were ready. And I think we could all look at the church here at Thessalonica and be more encouraged to prepare for the Lord's return. If Thessalonica was ready almost 2,000 years ago, shouldn't we be even more so today? Paul is not telling them about the time or the date or the season of the Lord's return, but rather that they'd be ready as children of the day. Paul wanted them ready. He wants us ready for the Lord's return. Now we know that studies on the end times is very, very important. But there are too many that prefer the study of the end time, but not the readiness of the Lord coming back. They're all about the revelation, and they're all about the prophecy and studying about the end times, but they're not so much so about being ready for the end times. In other words, the second advent and the second coming of the Lord should never overshadow the first. The cross of Christ, the preaching of the gospel, the walking by faith, the hope and salvation. They get lost in the second coming of Christ. When the first coming, when he came the first time, should be our priority. Engaged in that. The cross of Calvary and preaching the gospel to the lost. And us becoming more like Christ Jesus. Verse 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as birth pains upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." There will be those that have prepared for retirement, who sit in ease and comfort and are not ready for the true long retirement eternity. And it's crazy to think about. But our society is geared towards that today. We want to be set and we want to be ready to retire. But the Lord has called us to be ready for the true retirement, which is glory. That's what He's called us to be ready for. The Scripture says that they sit or they shall say peace and safety. They're not worried about anything, and then all of a sudden, the great day of the Lord will come. And in this great day of the Lord, when He returns, He will catch them not about His business and not prepared. In that day, they will beg for the mountains to fall on them and cover them. And in that day, they will long for complete annihilation. They will wish that they will absolutely burn up, but it won't happen because the text says they won't be able to escape. It says that the return of the Lord would be like a woman going into labor. And what it's meaning here is it's all of a sudden. You can't pinpoint it. You can't tell when it's going to happen. I've got cows that I've marked down on my calendar. Well, I know what date they're going to have a baby on, and that day comes and goes. And a week later, I'm still waiting. And a week later, I'm still waiting. And then I think they're going to have the baby, and then they don't. And then all of a sudden, the next time I go out there, they have a baby. I couldn't pinpoint when that was going to happen, nor could I pinpoint when my wife, Casey, was going to go into labor with my first child. I remember when my beautiful Casey went into labor with our oldest, Anna. We knew she was close to delivery. After all, it was her birthday. This was the day she was going to be born on, her delivery date, her due date. We knew she was close. We had our bags packed, as first-time parents have a tendency to overdo. We were ready and waiting for our new crying little bundle of joy. And when Casey went into labor, it happened all of a sudden like. Now we knew it was close. Don't remember. We knew it was close. But just didn't know when. And so what did we do? What did we do? We prepared for that day. Once she went into labor, the only thing that we could do was get to the hospital. It didn't matter to me what my parents were doing. It didn't matter to me what was going on around me. It didn't matter to me who was president. All that mattered was we were prepared and we were ready to go because something was fixing to happen. It was time. On the way to the hospital, I didn't stop and ask directions. I knew where we were going. I didn't stop and talk to people. Because it was time. Nothing else was important. Nothing else mattered. The baby's bag was packed. Casey's bag was packed. My bag was packed. Our car was full of gas. And the hospital was waiting on us to get there. We were prepared. And if we can be this organized with our children coming into the world, shouldn't we be just as organized and ready for Jesus to come back into the world? Absolutely. We must be prepared, waiting and ready at any moment to see the Lord Jesus. But even with all the wickedness and the terror and the sin going on in the world today, and we can see that the end is close. We can see that there are things falling apart around us. And if the Lord's return was imminent 2,000 years ago, then what does that look like for today? But we see that there are those that won't be ready. Verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, he tells them that they were not in a spiritual darkness. Why are they not in a spiritual darkness? Well, let me tell you the reason why they are not in a spiritual darkness. Because the day star has risen in their lives. And according to 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 10, he has brought, Jesus Christ, he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Children of the day. This is why we are children of the day and why we are not in darkness. Malachi in chapter 4 and verse 2 tells us one of my favorite passages, I think, because it mentions us being there's a stunt of righteousness there and healing, but it also mentions cows. And you know that I love cows. It says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Ladies and gentlemen, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, the day star, Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, has illuminated our path, and we are not in darkness anymore. He is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. And this is why we are not walking in darkness. For those that are ready for the Lord, that day will not overtake them. It will not overtake us. So we see verse 4, it says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. And we know we're not in darkness because the Lord has illuminated us. Verse 5, it says, you are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with sleeping at night or taking a nap during the day. But it has everything to do with being about our Lord's business while there is time. And not occupying our minds with things that don't profit spiritually, like those that are asleep or in spiritual darkness. But let us watch and be sober. He goes on here to say that vigilance and sobriety. Vigilance, watching, and sobriety. Being grounded. These are the Christian's appropriate duties for the day. To be ready, watching and serving. And not allowing our terribly dangerous minds to go out into left field and to get drunk with the thoughts of the world. The mind truly is a battlefield, and Paul is telling us that we are to be watching with a sober mind. In other words, quit being in dreamland like those that are not ready for the coming of the Lord. Their minds are busy on things that are of the world. On the next great fix, whatever they can try to fill the void up with. Paul is telling us here, to be vigilant and sober-minded. Verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that get drunk are drunken in the night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Paul mentions here the soldier's armor, doesn't he? The breastplate of faith and hope. Or faith and love and the helmet of hope of salvation. We're to be ready for the battle, just as we learned on Sunday, just as Joshua was ready for Jericho by faith. And it will be the breastplate of faith that's towards God, and love that's towards the brethren, along with the helmet of salvation that is through hope that will win the day. But I want you to notice what also Paul is doing. He's ending out this letter, and he's doing it in a very clever way. See, when he started the letter, he mentions these three things. Listen to what he says in chapter 1, in verse 3. He says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." And now he's ending this letter with the same. You see how he's bringing it all back together? He's going back to where he started in chapter 1, verse 3. He commends them there for their faith, love, and hope. And now in the end of the letter, he is reminding them of that. Verse 9, listen to what it says. And this is a beautiful passage. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." Praise be to God. "He has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore," in his typical form, typical fashion for Paul, he says it again to the Thessalonians, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and encourage or edify one another, even as also you do." So he tells them to even grow in that encouragement and that edification towards one another, as they are already doing. And so the church there was doing good and doing right in the eyes of God, but he even encourages them to do more than that. "Comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." May God bless the reading of His Word tonight. And I do pray that you would be able to take this passage, and the next time we meet, we'll look at 12 through 28, and I hope to be finished with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 next Wednesday night, but we'll be looking at 12 through 28. And so if you want to, go ahead and read those. I'm going to give you some homework. Read those passages, 12 through 28, where Paul is going to be giving them some very, very basic fundamental things to do in our Christian walk. "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil." These are things that Paul is going to close his letter with. And so I pray that you would read that 12 through 28 for the next time we meet on next Wednesday night. I do pray that the ladies at Almost Home would not give up, but they would continue to seek out the Lord while He may be found, to trust in Him, to lean not on their own understandings, but in all their ways acknowledge Him, and He truly will direct your path. He directs my path every single day, and I know that He can direct yours as well. So I pray that you wouldn't give up hope. Trust in Him with all that you have. For our church people, continue to pray for the marriages in our church and our families as we've been in quarantine. I know this has been hard on people where you've been kind of pushed back into one home. And so I do pray that you would pray for those that are in our church family, for the lost, I also pray that you would lift up those that are lost and that don't know the Lord. Part of our being ready to meet the Lord is also praying for others that they are ready to meet the Lord. I want my family to know the Lord. I want my friends to know the Lord. And so we need to pray for them. Tomorrow is a day of prayer and fasting for our church and on Thursdays. And I do ask that you would do just that. Pray for those that don't know him. Pray that they would understand who he is, receive him by faith as Lord and Savior, that they would be ready as well to meet the Lord Jesus. I love you and I thank you. May God bless the reading of his word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.